Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today is April 10th, 2022. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. We give you the greetings of peace of Assalamu Alaikum and the blessing greetings from Ramadan and Ramadan Mubarak. We'll be right back after our opening theme song. In the meanwhile, call a friend, tell them to tune in. You don't want to miss today's show. We'll be right back in a few, inshallah.
People, everybody trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words. To think twice before you step on, give advice, make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words. They make people, and people, they make the world go round. Words make people, check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are, cause those type of words, they don't go far. Thinking starts, word can buy, from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people, and people, that make the world go round. Words make people, check out the words that make your mind.
Welcome back to Workmate People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. And today's topic is going to be really a dual topic because we have a special guest coming on, Imam Marlon B. Shahid of Carolina. I think I have him in the queue now. I'm going to bring him on early. Email Ronald B. Shahid. Assalamu alaikum. Email Ronald, can you hear me?
Alaikum.
I can hear you a little bit. You kind of breaking up. Email Ronald.
Come on. Yes.
Okay, I can hear you now. There you go.
You hear me now?
Yes, sir. I can hear you now.
Praise be to Allah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Yes, sir. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak to you and the audience who is listening today.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah, we're rolling now. Ramadan going good now. We into a week. We're going to finish up 1 week.
That's right.
Yes, sir. So tomorrow, inshallah, will be the ninth day of Ramadan, 9 and 9. We're going to come back to that, inshallah. We want to talk with you about your recent publication. Then we're going to segue some kind of way, sometime along the way, into our main topic, which is titled Imam W.D. Muhammad's Advice and Insights on Al-Fatiha. For those who may not be familiar, Al-Fatiha is the opening chapter of the Quran. And Imam Muhammad gave us wonderful, wonderful insights on that. But let us begin, Bismillah ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. And since these shows are archived, Brother Imam, if you can just be so kind, we don't want to take anything for granted. Someone may hear this, we know, 5, 10 years from now. So if you can be so kind and take a couple of minutes and give us a thumbnail snippet view of you, so we know who we're listening to.
Well, with the God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, I openly witness that nothing should be worshipped except God alone, and I openly witness that Prophet Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is Allah's universal messenger and servant, the last prophet that's mentioned in the scripture, the present, peace be upon our noble and honored prophet, and what follows in our tradition of saluting him. I never know what is the best introduction. I'll just say that I'm a long-term member of the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. But I also became a member of the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a few years before his passing, right? And not counting the years, just giving a framework, people can do the math, you know. I'm a retired university college administrator, and God bless me to oversee Islamic school in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for nearly 20 years, and I retired from that job, and also I was the resident imam there too. I retired from that in 2016, latter part of the year. But prior to that, in 2013, I began compiling and publishing commentary of Imam W.D. Muhammad from his encouragement prior to his passing. And originally thinking I would just do one book, but ended up I've done so far 13 books. This book called Follow the Leader is the last one. Seems like it was nine years ago I started doing this. And so I am working on a book that he specifically wanted. He wanted a book that was all focused on his dictating to us in his home for about 3.5 years. And God willing, I hope to have that out soon. I would think 6 months or less, I hope to have it out. Only Allah knows, but that's what I'm shooting for. But anyway, this book,
yes, sir,
that, called Follow the Leader,
mm-hmm,
I compiled it and initially going to do a, I don't know, a pamphlet of some sort that could be available to the members of our association, because
mm-hmm,
I felt since the Imam's passing in 2008, I felt that as a whole, we were losing our disciplines in staying with his leadership and his language and everything. So
mm-hmm,
I tried to pull together as much as I could. I knew I couldn't do everything, but I tried to address some of the more critical things. For example,
yes, sir,
school of thought, you know, we have these various schools of thought in the history of Muslims. And many of us perhaps don't know that Imam Muhammad and what he represented in his leadership and commentary established a school of thought. And
mm-hmm,
I began to see that things going on, language and behaviors and everything that I knew was not sanctioned by Imam Muhammad and his 33 years of leadership. And I talked about it,
mm-hmm,
perhaps yourself and others, Imam, about this over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt this was the best thing I could do right now, is to put together a publication. So it ended up to be a publication just like all the other 12 before it, although I intended for it to be less formal, you know, publication and everything. But
yes,
as
sir,
you see, one who peruses the book or read it will see there are a lot of different things that Imam Muhammad encouraged us to follow. For example, just one example, hadith, you know, and sunnah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think too many of us think that the sunnah of the prophet is the word, the hadith that, you know, reports and everything. Imam said the sunnah is more the prophet's action than it is anything.
Right.
And he warned us, and I have it in the book, you have all these sayings, and, you know, you may have the saying of a lot of different people, and the level of accuracy in what they say might vary too. And so,
mm-hmm,
you know, we have to be careful about, he said, most of these hadith, it requires scholars to really understand what's really being said. And then he said that if you give the hadith to somebody rather than the Quran, that's incorrect. He said, really, we should be giving the Quran to it, because
mm-hmm,
the hadith have some difficulty. So that's just a sample of
mm-hmm,
some of the areas I try to cover in the book.
Yes, sir. So, well, that's important. I like that you make that distinction between hadith and the sunnah, because the word hadith is mentioned in the Quran, and so is the word sunnah mentioned in the Quran. Mm-hmm. But we don't find the word sunnah mentioned in relationship to Muhammad the prophet. We find the word sunnah in connection with Allah,
that's
sunnah
right,
of Allah. That's in the Quran. Even the
that's
sunnah
right,
of the wrongdoers, the sunnah of the wrongdoers,
yeah,
is also
yeah,
in the Quran. And you would find the sunnah of those who came before. I think that was in the Quran, but you would not find the phrase the sunnah of the prophet. Right. Now you will find the word hadith in the Quran, and it's used in very different ways, very different applications. But it also is issued at one time as a challenge. It says, and what hadith after this hadith, referring to the Quran itself, will you accept? And saying that this hadith, the Quran, is the best hadith, but there's nothing in the Quran saying anything about the hadith of the prophets. So I'm glad you made that distinction, because we still, as a community, we're relatively new to Islam.
Yes.
And we get terms from people from who may be more learned, who may have become habitual with a definition. And they give it to us as if it's very fun, as if it's actually part of the religion, and it's not. So, but what the only thing we can find that I found so far, maybe someone else may know something better, please call in and let us know. The description in the Quran of the prophet is his uswa. And I think
yeah.
that's chapter 33, verse 21, I believe. So the prophet himself, he didn't say, I leave you my sunnah. They tell us that. The prophet said, I leave you two things, the Quran and my sunnah. He don't say the word sunnah. He said,
yes.
The Quran and my example. So these are the kind of things that are very important to us. But tell us more about this book. I got our copies yesterday, and I kind of looked
yeah.
at it a little bit, and I guess read the preface. I said, man, this is a good book. just for reading the opening of it. So now, follow the leader. And you began in your preface with saying, in the kindergarten, you learned this game called follow the leader. And you said that's simple, but powerful. It's simple, but it's a powerful lesson. So what is it? You kind of touched on it a little bit, but tell us, what is it that we need to learn from this book, that we can learn from this book?
I think if I were to, if I had the ability, which I don't, but if I had the ability to encapsulate this book, this publication, I would say, understand and follow the language of Imam W. Muhammad. The language, you know. I think your opening song, the references that words make people. People make the world go round. Yeah. Words.
Mm-hmm.
Words mean, as you know, and many of us know, it's not just what we initially think as word. Word is anything that brings a concept to your mind. And you initially see it as the five senses, because the five senses, as Imam says, reach out into the creation like the tributaries of a river headed down to the sea. They're reaching for rivers going to a picture of what is a picture of universality. You know, we all want to find our place in this objective universe, right? Anyway, so the universe is one word. Bible says, in the beginning was the word. So all of this is reporting to this language idea. Then God, then the Bible says, in the word, entered the world and became flesh. So words do make people. They shape people. Words enter us, enter the human being by way of the five senses, aimed at stimulating the mind to grow and become what God created the mind to become. And so, Imam said one time, I thought it was kind of humorous. He said, if you can tell me something about anything that has been the leader for the development of civilization more than language, he said, I'm going to stop right now and see if y'all can come up with something. we weren't going to come up with anything, because that's a profound statement, that language, words, make people. Words, the universe is a word. And we understand that, you know, before the prophet received the words of Quran, the Quran was already existing. The word of God was already existing. It was the creation itself. You know,
Yes, sir.
But anyway, just not to digress, but words make people. That's, you could encapsulate this book, I think, by saying words make people, and we need to follow the words of Imam Devadi Muhammad. He's the leader. And if you don't follow the leader, then you're out of the game. You know? And so that's what
you,
I was trying to
ask. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish, please.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Brother Imam.
Now, you indicated that there is a getting away from following the leader. Is it intentional, or is it just we form habits and we don't realize we form habits? Tell us more about what you mean by that, that you are sensing we're getting away from following the leader.
Yeah. I don't think it's intentional on most people's part. I don't think it's intentional. But I read something recently. Well, something you sent me. It was some commentary of Imam on Al-Fatiha that we're going to be discussing later. And he said in there that the biggest, the one thing that religious leaders, we talk about selfish religious leaders, that they fear more than anything else is they fear the people being able to get insight into religion and religious scripture and everything. And you know, as you know, Imam Michael, Imam Sahir, you know that that was Imam Muhammad's life, really, to give us insight into God's word, the scriptures, his commentary, his tafsir. And so what I think happened is that over the years since Imam Muhammad passed, and I think it was going on before he passed, it was just exacerbated after he passed, I think that people got into the surface, I would say the surface manifestation of our religion, and they did not go below the surface. And because below the surface is the substance that you need to really get understanding, to live the religion, to share the religion,
right,
our religion. And you know, Imam taught for 33 years trying to get us to be ones that didn't just stay on the surface, because he said that's what had happened to the Islamic world. The Islamic world, the majority of people, depending on the ulemas and the imams and the scholars, yeah, they had this little group, but the common man, the common people, were dependent on them like sheep depends on the shepherd. They were keeping them in the womb, like a shepherd keeps his sheep, you know. And, you know, the Bible says, slay the cow and eat meat, and meat is knowledge. So the man was slaying the cow, so to speak, halaling the and giving meat. Meat means, you know, as you know, one of the meanings of meat is the understanding of something. You get to the meat of it. Meat is knowledge.
Right.
You know? So this is what the true religious leader was supposed to be doing. And because that didn't happen, I think, as much as it should have before Imam passed, when he passed, I think that now was an opportunity for, influence to come among us that would take us back to just rituals, you know, ritualistic darkness, everything. And all that Imam was doing was, like the Quran says, God would bring you with the word, would bring you out of the darkness into the light. And the light is understanding of the ritual. But if you go back to just doing the ritual, then that's darkness. And so I saw that. I felt that, I felt that that was what was going on. And I don't think it was intentional on the part of our leadership. But you do it. When you wrote your book on the men behind the men, there was so much in that, in what they call in between the lines, that was so important, you know.
Yes, sir.
But a person can read it and not get any of that, is what I'm saying. And Imam Muhammad wasn't about surface reading.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm going to say the same thing because Imam Muhammad, he taught us about the first reading and then the second reading.
Yes.
You get more
absolutely.
With the second reading, the third. You can go, and that number can go as long as you keep reading it. Because don't
That's
every
right.
year,
That's
dear
right.
listeners, don't we find a verse every year in the Quran that we missed in the last 30 years? Where did that verse come from?
Yes, sir.
Because we read it again and we see it more. And we'll be seeing it at the right time because apparently we were not ready for it when we missed it all the other years. But I want to go back to something you said, and I'm going to, and you were there, Brother Emir Ronald. This was a Ramadan session, February 1975, Athens, Georgia. And I'm going to read.
75.
You said 75.
Yes, 95.
I sure did.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I sure did say 75. Because, the reason why I said 75 because, well, cause we were so excited. It was like a 20-year anniversary to 1975.
Yeah,
I remember
true.
That. So Imam Muhammad, he was speaking about, he was saying, and I phrased it, don't hold back knowledge.
Mm.
And you mentioned about how some of the ulamas and the learned people, they give you a watered-down answer. But this is what Imam Muhammad said, February 1995, Athens, Georgia. And he was talking about Jalsa, how we sit in the Jalsa position in prayer, how we sit. And he was saying, this is a Khalifa sitting on the throne, referring to the Jalsa, right? He said, yes. He said, Allah has evolved them from the earth twice, right? He made two frustrations. And his taqwa has earned him that. And now he sits on the throne. So isn't this a ritual holding a science for us? It's a ritual holding a science for us. He said, it's a ritual holding and preserving a science for us. Any joy telling it to you is an obligation on me. Now, this is where I want, this is what I wanted to get to. He said, an obligation on me. He says, if I should die with this in me, then I should go to hell. I should.
Mm.
If I die with this in me, I should go to hell. That would mean Allah didn't intend it for anybody but me. It's not for my family and my community if I'm going to keep it in me. He said every saint that holds his science, his knowledge, his insights from the people should go to hell. I know they're going to be in hell. And he went on to say they're not really saints, they're deceived. So if we... And following the leader following the imam, right? Then don't just follow what he says. Learn his thinking.
That's right.
Learn his method of thinking and use it. Learn his application of knowledge and use it. Share with the people because it took me a year because this right when he said that, I was like, in the days, I don't know how long, I was like, whoa, what did he say? You know? But then, and it resonated in my mind for a number of years before it dawned on me. I said, if that applies to him, that applies to all of his students.
That's correct.
To my follow the leader. So if we are getting all this rich knowledge, blessing, benefits, and we only teaching the inside the vast yet only, or we only find some of those who we feel comfortable saying it to, or we just say it just to ourselves, then we have to be very careful. Are we following the leader? So I've not read the book, but I'm thinking your book will speak to that. What do it mean by follow the leader? It don't mean follow him to the grocery store, right? It don't mean follow him home. So tell us in this book, what are you saying about follow the leader?
Okay, let me read to you on the back of the book, the back cover, a little brief paragraph. And this is a direct quote from Imam Muhammad. He said, it's important that since we are identifying as a community, that we be consistent. That's what community means. You have schools of thought in our religion. You have followers of different imams, different scholars. And these people tend to group together. And when you go to their group, you expect some kind of consistency, don't you? So when people look at us from the outside, they say, quote, oh, they belong to that group that emerged out of or evolved out of the old Nation of Islam under Elijah Muhammad, and their leader is Imam Waritha Deen Muhammad, unquote. So they expect us to be consistent. And when they come to our masjid and find you following some book you got off the shelf and find another imam following a different book, they say, quote, that community is in a shambles, unquote. They say, quote, they don't have any organization. They don't have any leadership, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad reflection on us, isn't it? We should be consistent. Now, what does that require? It requires that we follow our leader and that we don't use material unless we know our leader approves of it, unquote. That's Imam's quote. That's in the book,
yes,
but
sir.
I put it on the back as a kind of a teaser for people to say, oh, yeah, I want to read more. You know, so that's basically what I tried to do, and I made mistakes, and I know that, and those are my mistakes, but I was trying to do that, trying to present. I am trying to present. I know you're trying to do it with your program every week, and when you write or whatever, you're trying to do the same thing, and that is not put a veil on, take the veil off, you know. And
that's
let people know that God gave all of us a brain. We're not like the scarecrow in that parody. He had a brain. He had a brain, but he wasn't using his brain. He wanted somebody to free his brain. And so the prophets, plural, came, as we know from Imam Muhammad's commentary and everything, they came as liberators, and they came to liberate our minds. So that our minds could become what God created our minds to become. Muhammad said when he created the mind, the intellect, when Allah created the intellect, the brain, the reasoning, never did he create anything more excellent. And so, you know, Brother Imam, I want to say this to the audience, and I think you may have mentioned it, either you or somebody mentioned it recently, about zombies. You know, we're not, you know, it looks like every other movie they make now is about zombies. And I wondered about that. And I said, oh, man, I wish I would have been able to ask Imam Muhammad what he thought about that. But what I came to is that they're commenting on what they see. We have people acting as zombies. They're not using their own brain. Everything is channeled into their thinking, and they just come the vessel for the media, Hollywood, everybody, to use them like zombies. The zombie has a brain, but it's not functioning. It's dead, like Mr. Farad said. They're mentally dead. And so the religious teacher, the one who's bringing the word of God, is a liberator to give, to help participate in the process of liberating the human mind so that the human mind follow the soul to the destiny that God created. And no leader that I know of in history other than Muhammad the Prophet has been more on that. You know, I'll say this last thing. The last time I spoke to Imam Muhammad was on August 21st, 2008. Only a couple of weeks before he passed. And I remember saying this to him. I said, Brother Imam, I heard you in one of the Ramadan sessions. I said, I hope I don't quote you wrong. You said something like, there hadn't been a man like you walking on this earth since Muhammad the Prophet. So Imam said, well, no, there have been. He said, but the world hasn't been ready to support them like they're ready to support me, like it's ready to support me right now. And so I was so happy I was able to ask that question because it confirms what I thought, that Imam Muhammad was a blessing, a mercy from God, not just to us,
But to all human beings who are in that position of zombie-like, mentally dead state, he was He was for 33 years. Incidentally, it takes 33 years for the fast month to make it through the entire calendar. 33 years.
That's true.
Man taught us 33 years.
Yes. And I was trying to come to the book while you were speaking, because isn't there a part in here where he says that God taught him? Is that in this book? Or did I read it somewhere else? No. There you go. I got it. I found it. Page 26. Page 26. Yes. I'm going to read this paragraph here. It said God talks to Imam W.D. Muhammad directly. It's page 26. Yes, it said, God talks to me directly. You do not have to believe it. God has shown me all these things, and I am no prophet. I am nothing. I am just a imam, and I am hardly an imam. That is not my calling, really. I like to lead people to a better life, no matter what I have to do, business or whatever it is. That is serving God, too. But I do not like to tell you things like that, but that is the truth. I cannot take credit for this. No way I could see it unless Allah showed it to me. Now, I would not preach that. We do not want to hurt Christians, but that is the truth. What the Quran is describing is just what I told you. And I'm mentioning that for a reason. Now, this is an observation that I made, and I showed it last year, because we would get signs and indicators if Allah is with us. And we have in our lives on a regular basis, something happens to us or around us, and it was so good, but we had no control over it. And we just say, Alhamdulillah, Allah's in control, because you realize it was only Allah that done this. These things happen to us as individuals. I know I've had it. I'm sure you had it too. And when I said that to say this, I know some people say Imam Muhammad died on September 8th, but the record says the 9th. You mentioned that he taught us for 33 years, which is the completion of the cycle that it takes for the moon to travel through the solar system to be back where it was. But also now, when you have your numbers 0 through 9, 9 is the completion of the numbers. Is that right?
That's right.
September 9th is 9-9. Right? On the lunar calendar, Ramadan is the 9th month, the 9th day. On the day it's reported that the Imam died, both calendars were on 9-9.
Yeah.
The lunar calendar and the solar calendar. And 9 is the completion of the cycle. Now, I'm not saying this for anyone to accept it. This is a Michael Sahir thinking, you know, so you can accept it or reject it. But in my mind, I'm like, you cannot plan that. You can't plan that to have 9-9 on both calendars for the day in which Imam Muhammad passed on. Which to me saying it's a sign. It's a sign because these things are beyond our control. Plan that. But it happened. And after it happened, you know, we say, mashallah. You know, it happened. We say, alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. But tell us, how can we get your book? And I also want to ask you, are you ready to, on this portion of the show, to take questions and comments from the listening audience on your book?
Yes, anytime, Brother Matt. The way to get the book is, I do have a website, and it's you can get to the website, www.slash
thoughtsforsearchers.com. That's plural, thoughts, plural, thoughts, www.thoughtsforsearchers.com. And you can order the book. But if someone wants to order, you know, several books, it's better to either text me at rshaheed, pardon me, at 414-349-2278. That's my phone number. You can also email rshaheed49@gmail.com. That's rshaheed49@gmail.com. I'm open for any questions if there are any. But
yes, sir.
I guess we
encourage our listeners to press 1 on your phone should you have a question regarding this book or any other publications that our brother Imam Rav Shaheed has the words of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Please press 1 on your phone at any time and we will bring you into the conversation. Yes, sir. Before we get into the Al-Fatiha, you know, how Imam Muhammad told us how to say it. Anything else you want to share about the book?
The lead. I would like to.
How much is
I
the
would
book?
Like to. The book is $20. $20. I arrived at that figure years ago in having a discussion with Imam Muhammad about what to charge for the Ramadan sessions, because I helped to Imam Nasser Ahmed to prepare the books for to give to the members of the community. And in discussing with Imam Muhammad about the price, I think this was maybe 2006 session. And Imam was saying, well, you know, I don't know. He said, we don't want to overcharge them, you know. And so I can't even remember how we got to the $20 figure. But when we got to it, we both agreed that was good price, right? So.
Yes, sir.
And so we, you know, that's what I charged them, $20, those who didn't attend the Ramadan. Because, you know, what he would do is, if you attended the Ramadan session previous, like if it's 2006, then if you attended 2005 Ramadan session, when you came to the 2006 session, the 2005 Ramadan book would be available, a transcript of his presentation. And anybody who attended 2005 got it free. And if you did not attend, you pay $20 to purchase it. So that's how we came up with the price. And I've pretty much been using throughout.
What's the wholesale price?
The wholesale is $10. And I arrived at that because I know even my wife, she charged me and says I charge too little for it. But I do it because I want people to get as many as they can and distribute them. But I know I don't really follow the standard, because I know if you buy the book and then you can make 100% from it, that's unusual. But
okay. So
it seems fair.
Wholesale rate. I think it's very fair, very reasonable. But how many books do you have to buy to get the wholesale rate?
Ten books.
Okay.
Ten books. Okay. And then I'll give them the price. At least 10.
Okay, this
right.
Yes. And what a good thing about that is it could be a fundraiser for a masjid or for a center. they get
That's
10
true.
Books, they can make 100% profit. Well, they got to pay the shipping, of
That's
course.
True.
But
right.
They can make, minus the shipping, they can make 100% profit. And so this
yeah.
is excellent. Let's talk about...
You know, I wanted to say that...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Just some topics. The book refers to, Imam speaks on usury or riba. He speaks
mm-hmm.
on Juma prayer and the behavior that, what Juma prayer is and our behavior and what we should wear, all of that. He talks about schools of thought. He talks about the language of the leader should be consistent. The language should be consistent and we should follow it consistently. He talks to the youth. He talks to the situation for women in Islam in our community. One section I really like, it's just a small section, but it's so
mm-hmm.
profound if we really think about it. And he says in there that following Muhammad the Prophet means that more than likely, sometime in your life, you're going to experience what he experienced. And I think that that's
mm-hmm.
beautiful for someone to understand while they're reading the life of Muhammad the Prophet in during the Ramadan, because a lot of people are doing that, and they should. They're reading
mm-hmm.
the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to understand that if you are a follower of Muhammad the Prophet, what you see in the Quran and you see in his sirah, et cetera, that happened to him is going to happen to you.
Mm.
It wasn't just that. That makes it real, you know. Instead of reading about the prophet 1,400 years ago, we're reading about the prophet today because if it happened to him 1,400 years ago, it's going to happen to us as a group and individually in this day and time. And I think that just makes it real. That brings it home in a sense.
Yes, it does. It does. We have that conversation here sometimes. It seems like we live our religion as if we are looking through a rear mirror.
Wow.
It's only true behind us. And we should be living our living our religion. As Allah made our body, you know, our eyes go forward, our nose point forward, our forehead point forward. And this is a forward movement, a forward motion, I should say, religion.
Yeah.
And so Imam Muhammad was taking us to a destiny. A destiny is not behind you. A destiny is in front of you.
That's right.
And so the Quran is not behind us. It's before us by so many light years, hundreds, who knows, thousands of light years. So we have to be
That's
going
right.
forward. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, he said, I remember, but it was in Ramadan, and Imam gave when we were meeting with him.
Mm-hmm.
One of us asked him about the Night of Power, and he spoke about the Night of Power, and one of the things he said was that he was talking about the Qadr, Qadar. And Qadr, Qadr. One is the potential, and the other one is the capacity of the potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he said that what came down in the Night of Power was the Qadr, the potential. But the Qadr is the unfolding or the measuring, you could measure that. And he said, so he said that the sunnah of the prophet is still unfolding because the prophet Muhammad presented what we can become, what the human being will become. But it's
mm-hmm.
still left to the generation after that to fulfill that. So it's like having a cup and it's clean and pure, but there's no water.
Yes,
that's the Qadr. That's the potential.
When you put pure water in, that's kadar. That's the capacity. So he said, right. In that way, when we say the sunnah of Muhammad the Prophet, we are the sunnah of Muhammad the Prophet. And the sunnah of the Prophet is unfolding. So the sunnah of the Prophet goes on. It's because Muhammad the Prophet is the complete human person.
Yes, sir.
And a picture of what, right, and a picture of a concept of what the human being as a whole can become in the future. It hasn't reached that yet. It hasn't reached the full capacity. So I hope I didn't.
It's racing because you are front. You're leading the pack. So, you know, but you're on track. Because I tell you why. Because it makes sense when we are in Asalat and we are in the Jalsa, right, or the long sitting, Kata, right? And we do the prayer of Abraham. When we mention Abraham, it's past tense. But with Muhammad, it's future tense. It's present tense going to the future.
Wow.
Right?
That's beautiful.
So if if you're sitting in our prayer saying that, oh, Allah, bless Muhammad as you bless E.D., Abraham, then Muhammad's still being blessed in 2022.
There you go, bro.
Because of what you just said. So people call in. We got some information for you. We're going to take our first caller here coming up from the 910. But when we get to this at Fatiha, I pray you listeners, my brothers and sisters, if you got pencil and paper, I pray that you call somebody else and tell them to tune in. The show is being recorded, and the archive should be available. If you have the same link that came in the email, you can listen to this program later. But I think because we're sharing with you what Imam Muhammad gave. But right now, we're going to take our first caller from 910. Caller from 910. Thank you for calling Words Made People. If you have a question or comment for Imam Ron Shahid on this book.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. This is Brother Mustafa Shakir calling from the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, home of Masjid Omar ibn Said. Assalamu alaikum,
right.
Brother Imam, Rana Shahid.
Alaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. I just have a brief comment concerning Follow the Leader. The name of this program is Words Make People. And I observed quite a few years ago when we used to have the conventions and you have the vendors and they're selling various type of literature. And what I came to the conclusion is that I don't buy books. I stop buying books. What I do is I invest in the literature. I invest in the knowledge. And if I'm an investor, that means I'm looking for a return on my investment. And that's how I look at now, whatever literature that I may purchase, that's what I'm doing. I'm investing. I'm investing for my education. I'm investing for my advancement. I'm investing for my progress because I'm looking for a return on those monies that Allah blessed me to purchase that particular literature. And by the way, I purchased the case of Follow the Leader, and we have been distributing Follow the Leader in the Fayetteville, Cumberland County area. So I just wanted to say to the people who may think that $20 is a lot of money, it's not. It's an investment, and you will certainly get a return on your investment if we, you know, read and chew on and, you know, digest and then regurgitate, you know, the knowledge again, we will certainly get a return on our investment. So don't think that you are buying a book at a certain price. Look at it as an investment for your future. And I think, what is it saying? If you think education is expensive, then try ignorance. I just wanted to make that comment.
Right.
Thank you.
All
Praise you, Allah. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Amen. Ronald, you have any follow-up on what our brother Shakir just said?
I can't follow that. I like the way he put that. I think he's right. You know.
Yes, sir.
Invest in,
yes.
Like you were saying, ma'am, Mikhail. Investing is also talking about the future, as he was saying. You invest, you don't know. I mean, you're not God, but you invest. But you, like the prophet said, trust in Allah and then tie your camel. So you do as much as you can to understand what might manifest, but it's not going to happen unless God permits it. But you have to invest, though. If you don't invest, you don't get any return. So he's right, 100%.
Yes, sir.
Right.
You know, and I use my city as an example. The masjid that I'm a part of, we go back across to our beginnings with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the evolution that followed. And I share with the believers there so often, I share with them during the Juma Kupar. I said, if the Nur Allah Islamic Center in Indianapolis does not preserve and protect the voice, the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad, no other masjid in this city is going to do it. It's up to us. It's up to us. That's also following the leader. I'm sure that is true in very many cities. And the negative side of this comment is that there are some communities who want to stop this voice. You know, we have to be honest about it. And not saying it to turn to a negativity, but to keep us on guard. So in this book, Follow the Leader, do you address those kind of concerns?
I try, in my own way. I try to address those, you know, absolutely.
Yes, sir. Let's go to our next caller here. Caller here is from 773. I'm going to ask Brother Shakir, press one on your phone so you can go back out of the queue. And caller from 773-450. Thanks for calling Works Made People. Can you give us your question or your brief comment, please?
Assalamu alaikum. Bashir Assad in Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, Ramadan is Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ma'am Sahid and Ma'am Ronald Saheed. And I'd like to say that I am most grateful for the work that you're doing, both of you. Comment I'd like to make in relationship to what you said, Brother Imam Sahir, is my concern. And, you know, I text out quite often commentary by the Imam on different issues that may come up. I texted recently information out. I titled it Excerpts of the 2022 Savior's Day address by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when he made some comments concerning Imam Wardeen Muhammad. And I think my concern, and I think all of us' concern, is that we value Imam Wardeen Muhammad and what Allah has blessed us with his leadership.
Sir.
His knowledge was so vast. Ronald Saheed will be writing books till he's here no more. May Allah bring him paradise. But his knowledge and insights were so broad, and he knew it. That's why he had people like Imam Ronald Saheed and others document his lectures. Imam Ronald Saheed may not remember this, but I worked on security. And at one Ramadan event, you know, nobody was supposed to bring in computers. So I approached Imam Ronald Saheed and asked him about, you know, his computer. Well, he had his glasses on and kind of looked up at me and said, you know, that the Imam had authorized him to do this. So I understood it, you know. Because you'd say, like, brother, what are you bothering me about? You know, but I understood it, and I'm grateful for it.
Yes,
but
sir.
I probably heard Imam Wardi Muhammad before. Both of you did. And 53rd in Greenwood. And this was maybe
yes,
back in 1969 or 70. And he had came back. And at that time, I thought Minister Farrakhan was the, for a better word, the baddest thing next to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I heard him that night. And I
yes,
backed up since.
Back
that night, he taught, and at that period of time, how to eat to live, you know, it was eating to be healthy and live a long life. But he took the approach. He said, everything that you take in your mind is food. And you have to watch what you take in your mind. But
1969.
If I could read just something, one briefly, about the significance
yes,
of Imam Wardi Muhammad. And it was from the Muslim Journal. And he said, I know my father, I know my teacher is God. My father told me that my teacher would be God. He said, I got mine in the person of a man, but he, Wallace, will get his from God, not in the person of a man, but by the way of revelation. My father said that to me in front of others. But man gets off path of true nature and gets into his ideas a reality and loses the truth of what reality really is. So he goes into darkness. Thank you. That's some of it. One other thing, Brother Matt, if I can question, you know,
yes,
a question I asked you earlier in the week about the recital of Al-Fatiha and how we should be doing this in unison. So if Imam Ronald Shaheed has some insights on that for us, because I remember Imam said people shouldn't come into our masjids and see us doing all kind of different things. And I know some, I've experienced it here. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, Brother Bashir, you are the reason why we're having this topic today, because you asked me that question in the middle of the week.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Yes, yeah, because when you put that on my mind and on my heart, I said, well, that's a good question. And that's when... And you asking me that gave birth to our topic today.
Okay.
And so
alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So I'll praise be to Allah. So let's talk about the Fatiha. And Brother Assad and Brother Mustafa Shakir, if you can press one on your phone, then that would take you out of the queue. And we're going to talk about the Fatiha. Imam Rana Shaheed, and as given to us by Imam W.D. Muhammad. Yeah, so let us talk about the Fatiha. You know, it just dawned on me that normally when I begin the show, I always begin with Quranic recitation, and I didn't do it this time, so we're going to do it right now with the Yeah, we're going to do it line by line, maybe word by word, of Fatiha. Imam Rana Shaheed, any place you want to begin, I guess we always begin from the beginning. But anything you'd like to share with us, please, on the Fatiha, but as directed to us by Imam Muhammad.
Well, only that the word itself the root word also refers to victory. You know, we translate it opening, but the word itself also points to victory. And Imam Muhammad said, would he be wrong if he translated Al-Fatiha as the victory? You know, and the victory is to open up the creation or the exploitation, I use that word, of our intellects, you know, the opening, you know.
Okay.
Because, you know,
because when conquerors conquer a city or a state or whatever, they say they have opened it up, meaning that they're able to go in and get the benefits that's there. So that's what the word Al-Fatihah means, opening up to get the benefits that God has there for the human person.
Yes, sir. Now, isn't that tied in? I think it's chapter 48. I'm trying to look it up right now. Chapter 48 is titled FOP.
That's
am I correct?
Right. That's right. That's right.
Chapter 48 is titled FOP. And when they translate FOP, F-A-T-H, they translate it as victory.
Yes.
Victory.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
I'm trying to look it up right now. For anybody who have a Quran handy, go and check me out. Chapter 48, I think it's titled, I think 49 is titled Muhammad, yes. So.
Yes.
Now, it's so that's. So before we get into the words of Al-Fatihah, let's continue what we've already begun, and that is just getting a better understanding of the word Fatihah. Here is Al-Fatihah, so it's not just any opening, but the
right.
L in front of it, meaning the opening. So let's talk a little bit more just about the word itself. If we understand the word more, and its various inflections is going to help us appreciate the words within the Al-Fatihah. So another word, if you can speak on, is mitaf, which means key. Is there a connection with that also?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The, the key, you think of the key in a door, you know, to open the door. And, you know, throughout the Quran, we see the phrase, ulul al-bab. And, you know, bab in Arabic is door. But the translator, translates it, ulul al-bab, as O men of understanding. So you see there, it's talking about, you know, open the door of understanding, ulul. Means is taken from the word awl, which means first in Arabic. And one translator says first possessors of the door, something like that. Imam Muhammad translates ulul al-bab as those given the how do you say it? Those who are given the foundation of knowledge, the roots of knowledge. Ulul al-bab. So this is opening the door, key to open the door. It's talking about the door of understanding. You know. And another way to understand mistah, key, is, you know, when you have a puzzle or have a intricate math problem or whatever, they said, if you're given the key, then you can understand what's there. So we see Al-Fatihah as that too, because every chapter of Quran opens with the essence of Al-Fatihah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, it's just, you can go on and on with that discussion. We could have a conference just on that. Those who are studying the Quran, studying Imam Muhammad's commentary, we could probably have a long conference just on what we're talking about now, or how Al-Fatihah is the key, the miftah. Why? Because it opens up every chapter of Quran. And if we see the Quran as Allah's revelation to help us open the key to the universe, and whatever it has to offer, as we just read in chapter 5, that Jesus Christ asked for a banquet, a table spread, like a banquet.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And you know, the only time that's Eid is mentioned in the Quran. It's mentioned there in that chapter. Eid, a solemn festival it's calling for. They ask your Lord to call. They said the disciples asked Jesus Christ to ask his Lord to send down viands from heaven, food to be spread out like a banquet. So they have a festival.
Yes, sir.
So the festival is the Eid. That's
yes,
what
sir.
It's mentioned. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I have a question now. If Fatiha is saying the opening,
yeah,
it begs the question as to what was closed.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So what was closed? If it's
go ahead, brother man.
No, I'm waiting for you. Yep.
Oh yeah, yeah. What was closed was what I mentioned earlier, and that is that, and I said that you sent it to me, and I kind of tried to quote from it where it says that these oppressive religious leaders fear nothing more than common people getting insight into religion, insight into the Word of God. You know, because, you know, for people of faith, people of religion, the Word of God is their life. And it's really saying gaining insight into their life, which is the Word of God. The people of faith understand that the Word of God is food for them. It's food for their faith and for their understanding so that they can become what God created them to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's opening up insight. It's revealing that which was there but was hidden. And in this case, God says he brings us out of the darkness into the light. So God tells us in the Quran that he wants us to see everything. But these oppressors, like Imam said, they bring their initiates and their special ones and their special students and the common people, they feed them baby food. No insight,
baby
just
food.
Rituals.
Yes,
just
sir.
Rituals, you know.
Now, we also recall, as you can speak on this too, because Imam Muhammad told us to make connections with our book and the books that came before.
Yes.
The Bible closes out with that seven seals. And as we know, the Imam, he connected this the Fatiha as being seven openings or seven surahs. Verses.
Verses.
So can you speak on that? You have any comments on that, please?
Yes. So seven. Lots of commentary on that, but talking about the seven verses of Al-Fatiha is really 14, because each one of them is, you know, like Allah said in the Quran, he created everything in pairs. Everything is created in pairs. Prophet Muhammad said that too. Everything is in pairs. So on one level, it's surface and then in sight. So in other words, we see the objective world. That's one. Then the next one is that which is not seen, and that's the essence of whatever it is. We don't see that because it's not on the surface. Quran is designed to take us, quote, below the surface. Quran is revelation. Quran was sent down on the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, the night of the potential. So God wants us to, God wants us to get into the capacity of the potential. But first you have the potential, you know. First you have the service. First you have things that are there, but there's insight. Ulul al-bab, that's meaning those who are given insight into the first order of that thing. In philosophy, it's called epistemological understanding. In other words, you not only see the tree, but you see what the tree essentially is. What is its innate nature? You see the surface of a tree. You don't see all that the tree is. All that the tree is inside the nature of the tree. So we don't see the nature of a thing. We only see the nature by insight, you know. And so these, if it's the opening, and we're talking about the opening, if I thought of the opening, so we have the first one is, we have two renditions, I say. One is the, what the Quran says, this book is a basic and fundamental understanding, but it also is allegorical.
Mm-hmm.
It has, you know, upon reflection and comparison and experience and everything, you get another reading, as you said earlier. Two readings.
Okay.
And I say this. Imam said this once. He said, would I be wrong if I translated Quran, Al-Quran, as the promised reading, R-E-A-D-I-N-G?
Mm.
You know. So because, you know, the word Quran is from the word, the root word, which means to read, right?
Yes.
So you said, I'd be wrong. Yeah, in saying that, translating Al-Quran as the promised reading. In other words, God, Allah, the human being, a second reading. Not just the first reading, a second reading. And the scholars and those of insight were supposed to be the ones to share with people so they could get to that, but they didn't. So many of them didn't. They formed these groups and kept people in the womb, so to speak. Then the prophets come as liberators. As liberators. You know, in the Bible it says, it's in the words of Paul somewhere in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And Paul says, blessed is every male child that breaketh the womb, W-O-M-B.
Mm.
In other words, you're no longer in the womb. You're now freed to become what God created you to be. Because if you stay in the womb, then that development that you could come to, you can't come to it. And so the Quran is designed that way. The revolutionary book that freed the whole world. You know, they'll say it, but they don't say it. They say Renaissance, which means another birth, rebirth. But then they don't really interpret it for everybody to really understand that it was the Quran that caused that. It's the Quran that brought about the second birth or the rebirth or the breaking of the womb.
Right. Yes, sir. Now, if, and so let's just say since the Quran, since the Fatiha is referring to a victory, what was the battle? And this is how I think this is how Imam Muhammad wanted us to be thinkers.
That's beautiful.
What is said on the surface is really encouraging us to think. I mean, to take what is there on the surface, but what else is this saying to us? If since we have already concluded that Al-Fatiha is the victory, then what was the battle? And I recall sessions that we have sat in with Imam Muhammad, and it begins with saying, with the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And he shared with us that he chose that translation. Many of the translators say, when they say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, many of them will say with the name, now they say the name of Allah, the merciful, or they say the compassionate, right? They say the beneficent, meaning they'll say the beneficent, the compassionate. Amen. Muhammad, he gave it to us, saying the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And he explained why that he done that on a number of occasions. I'll share one. I'll forget to share one that comes to your mind.
Yes, sir.
He was saying that verse is addressing a concept that needed to be corrected from Bible teaching. Corrected and concluded. I think that's maybe sound better. And those the two concepts was that they gave two images of God in the book called Bible.
Mm.
The Old Testament version of God is God as a benefactor. The New Testament is the expression of God as being the Redeemer. But they kind of split the two, one being the Father and one being the Son. So Imam Muhammad's translation is correcting that it's not a tag team or two person. No, those are my words, excuse me. It was not a Father and Son. It was only the one. It was only the one God who did it. So the first verse is giving us a victory over the misunderstanding of trying to split God into a Father and a Son. It's not a Father and a Son. Allah, the one God, is both. He is the Old Testament version of the benefactor, and this one is saying God is the Redeemer. He is not a Father and Son. It's only one. That for the human family, if we can accept Imam Muhammad's insights on that, that is a victory over the dividing of the Godhead, as they say. That's a major victory for the human family to come back to a sense of Tawheed. That's the first victory mentioned there in the first verse, Ayat, when we say with the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. It's not two, and it's not three, because the third one is the Holy Ghost. It's not two or three, it's only one. Allah. That's a victory for the human family.
Yes, sir.
And that has been a battle for the human family, too. Yes, sir. Anything you want to add to that, please?
No, sir. That's good. I know I can't add anything. I'm
speaking
on what you just said.
But it's a victory. I mean, and even the second ayat, the third ayat, really up until the fourth or the fifth ayat, they all are addressing battles that the human family had to wrestle with that was denying us coming into our full potential as Allah wanted us to have.
The next one is
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, right? Praise be to God, the Lord of all the systems of knowledge, they say, are of all the worlds. And I know you heard Imam Muhammad. I left you to speak on it, because the difficulty for mankind was that we had been taught that the law was only for Israel.
That's right.
So what did you call your man said on that, please? We're talking about victory for the human family.
Because most specifically, the people, those who have been influenced by Christianity and Judaism, and this was before the advent of Islam, under Muhammad the Prophet, praise and peace upon him, then the presentation of the Creator, Allah, was as the Lord of Israel. And, of course, the Christian came after
Judaism, and so they were influenced by that. You know, that it's the Lord of Israel. And if you really mm-hmm. follow the logic to its conclusion, it was going to come back around to that at some point, where Israel was going to be seen as favored and I would say the destined or the promised community or something.
Yes, sir.
But Allah is the Lord of Allah is the creator, and he is the Lord of every, you know, he's Rabbi al-Alamin. He's the Lord of all the world, not just
mm-hmm.
one community or one other earth or whatever. If there's life anywhere else in the universe, he's the Lord of that life too. So,
yes,
so,
sir.
Yeah, and so when Islam was when the Quran was revealed to Muhammad the Prophet, the battle was, as you said, was to save people from that, I would say, shallow thinking, and to broaden their thinking to understand that Allah's mercy encompasses everything and everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the first mercy, as you were saying, is that he created everything with all the potential. He created everything with his potential. And the second mercy
mm-hmm.
is referring more to the mercy that God gave to the human person. And that is that in pursuing, you know, all the benefits of this wonderful creation, we can become too materialistic and focus too much on, as I said earlier, the surface, what we see, the gold, the silver, all these benefits. And we don't know,
yes,
as the prophet said, that the best riches is the riches of the soul, not the riches of gold and silver and everything. So the mercy of the freeing of the human person in this battle
mm-hmm.
is to let the human person know that we all have these jewels, these wonderful jewels in our soul, and that this world and our life in it is designed for those jewels to come out so that not only
mm-hmm.
we benefit, but the whole creation benefits. And that's
all
what
the world.
All the world. And that's what the common man needs to understand, the common person, male and female, needs to understand that it's about everybody. It's not about a particular group. You know, you raise up a particular person so much that they become godlike, and you forget that what is in him is in you. That's why the prophet and Jesus Christ both are quoted as saying, I and you, you and me. And the prophet said, I'm a mortal human person like you are. In other words, you're looking at the prophet. He's a human being. So you're telling me that we're not talking about the Quran now. The Quran already came to the prophet. You won't receive the Quran. But everything else you can do. Male
and
female. That's right.
Yes, right.
Right. And if you ever think you can't do that, then you are a victim and you lost the battle.
Lost the battle.
We're talking about
and
battle.
Fact
how, yeah, we want to win the fight.
You know, talking about the victory. It's the victory.
That's
of
right.
The battle. And then the
that's
next
right.
verse, again, it comes back again and says, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And I heard the imam say,
yes.
He said a lot of things on it, but one thing I recall that really on my mind now, he said it's in the, no, I'm going to cancel that one because it would cause some confusion. So he's going to be going to do as they say in the court. Your Honor, strike that from the record. We're going to pass on because we want people, and along the way, dear listeners, if you want to press phone on your phone, we will entertain your questions. Right now, we don't. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. We don't need a lot of comments right now. Take some comments. But this is a time, if you want to ask questions as we progress through this conversation, you can feel free. Press 1 on your phone, and we will try our best to entertain your question. And a brief comment, I'm emphasizing brief, please. Let's go back a little bit, Brother Imam Ronald Shaheed, because you said it earlier that they're in Al-Fatiha. We have 7 verses, but there are really 14 readings because each verse is a pair. I want everyone who's listening, she's taking notes in particular, and we can go to it here. I'm going to go to it on my computer. Chapter 15, verse 87. 15 and 87. And Brother Imam Ronald, you mentioned this in your books. I think I had it saved. You guys, beginning on page 43. So page 43. But right, and it's tied in with, again, I'm saying it, I'm repeating it, so I want people to be able to remember this. Chapter 15, verse 87. This is very important to us. And it reads, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa lakat atanika saban means 7, mina matthani, from matthani is tied in with from 2, but matthani here is saying often repeated, but the root word of matthani is ifnan. Ifnan means 2. So you got the 7, right? And you got the 2. That gives us the 14. So Allah says again, he says, and certainly we have given you 7 verses, right? Of the off-repeated in 2 of Bethany, and it said it is the Quran al-Azim. Wa Qurana al-Azim, a mighty Quran. Imam Muhammad uses this verse, again, chapter 15, verse 87. Please don't forget it. You Imam student, this should be part of your immediate thinking. Because Imam, he bases from this verse, again, chapter 15, verse 87. I can't say it enough. As the, he establishes a logic, and Imam Muhammad, Imam Ronald, you mentioned this in your book, a logic for the Al-Fatiha being recited in a certain kind of way.
Yes.
I don't see the book in front of you now. I got it right here. But Imam Muhammad was saying, this is in the book called Follow the Leader. He says, don't buy the logic from other people if not what you believe. In other words, Imam was saying there's a logic to reciting the Al-Fatiha. He says here, quote, when you read Al-Fatiha in Arabic, you can read it many ways. You can read it line by line. It's okay. This chapter of the Quran is described in the Quran as 7 matching verses. 7 that come in twos. Netfana. I think there should be a meme, but there should be an M. But anyway. Matthana is the word. It's the Arabic words. So we want to stop 7 times. It should be a student of your Imam in particular. Your Imam is saying there should be 7 stops in reciting Al-Fatiha. And he gives them to us here. The first one is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's the first one. Now, I'm going to say this slow because I want people to get this. Now, the typical Qurans that we read, you read it, factor how they give us 7 verses, ayats. But Imam Muhammad, he combines the second and the third and make it just 1 ayat. This is important for us to know because Imam, he's basing upon chapter 15, verse 87, and the logic of Matthew. So Matthani is saying 2, but the 7 verses, there's 2, the 2 matching pairs in each of the 7 readings. So we, for now on, when you say Al-Fatiha, if you choose to, the Imam said that we should do this. He was saying that I mean, he said that is what we want. Let us establish region at Fatiha that way. Make seven stops. This is leadership. You establish what you believe to be the logic. Don't buy it from other people if it is not agreeing to what you believe the logic to be. So the Imam has given us a logic for reading at Fatiha. You combine, okay, the first verse, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is one. The second one, you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Don't stop, put two and three together. Two and three is really two. Then Malik Yawm al-Din, when in most books show us being four, that becomes three. That's the third ayat, according to this logic given to us by Imam W.D. Muhammad. Maybe I should, I don't know if anybody got any questions on that, because this is very important, dear people, is you're going to follow the leader. The book's called Follow the Leader, right? You're going to follow the leader. Imam Muhammad was saying verse 2 and verse 3, as given the most translations, is really just one verse, verse 2.
Yes.
And
you know, man,
Yawm al-Din,
Cal.
Yes, sir, please.
And as you were explaining that, I realized that one of the things Imam is telling us is that the Quran is a book of logic, L-O-G-I-C. And you're supposed to follow the logic to its conclusion. So when you read from chapter 18, verse 87, that's a logic. And we have bestowed upon you the seven oft-repeated verses and the Grand Quran, you know. So what Imam gave us in terms of how to read the Quran, we're not following the logic of those who did this, you know, told you how you should read a Fatiha before. We're following Imam Muhammad's logic. And either we follow his logic or we don't follow his logic. It's okay if we don't follow it. Nobody can say you're not a Muslim. But he's saying that if you choose to follow me and the logic that I present, read it this way, you know, because and I'm just saying it's commentary, it pays with the logic of Quran. It's still seven, right? He didn't make it eight or five or anything. He didn't say, he kept the logic. He stayed with the logic. That's why we should feel very comfortable staying with our leader, because he doesn't violate. He never violated the logic of Quran, the way that the prophet brought the religion to us. He never violated that. But he came with something new that we didn't know. It wasn't that it was new. We didn't know it. So we thought, okay, I'm not going to fight. And I know he did it. Well, I know people, I can hear people now saying to themselves, well, I know what the man said, but this is the way I learned it, and I don't think I'm going to change it right now, you know. Well, you're guilty of not following the lead is what you're guilty of. It's not saying you're not a Muslim, but it's saying that if you want what God promises those who follow this leader, you got to stay with this leader. Like I said in the beginning of the book, if you don't follow the leader, you're out of the game. That's a simple rule that a kindergarten can follow, you know.
That's right. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. I know some may be thinking, well, they say, well, if you make two and three one, then you're going to end up with six verses. No, you don't, because the man took the verse that's given in seven, and that becomes two, because you're following the logic. Right now, we can push
that
point. Follow the logic, following the logic. Oh, and what is the pattern of the logic? If there are seven stops, and in each of the seven, there's a pair. Like, Ar-Rahman is a pair with Ar-Rahim. That's a pair.
That's right.
And then the next one, you say, Alhamdulillahi Ar-Rahim, the same pair again. The next one is Maliki Yawm al-Din, right? Maliki, that's master. Yawm al-Din,
that's
a pair. One's Malik, and one's talking about the judgment. Iyaka Na'budu is one. What is his prayer? Iyyaka nasta'in. That's the prayer for
us. That's
right. Iyyaka nasta'in. Okay, and then it goes on. But we are establishing the logic, and the Imam uses the Quran to base his logic upon. The logic of the Quran,
yes,
to base his logic upon, and that's why I keep saying chapter 15, verse 87, because that's the Quranic
that's
logic
right.
that the Imam used to establish his logic. And
that's
if you're
right.
going to follow
that's
the leader,
right.
you follow the leader. Now, if you don't follow, it don't make you not a Muslim. It'll make you, you still can be a good Muslim, but for the student of Imam Muhammad.
That's right.
Then
that's
you
right.
get the, you got, no one will tell anybody what to do, have to do. You're not saying shame on you if you don't. We just saying follow the leader. Follow the leader.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go through those, inshallah, the best of our ability to get those prayers to each of the seven. But I want to go back, if you can, to this victory, because there's another battle that's
yes.
Going on, too, that Fatiha addresses. What battles are we talking about? The battles of a human family, the human intellect, have been struggling with from
that's
the
right.
injustices imposed upon the human mind from religious leadership before the Quran, from government leadership before the Quran, mainly the religious government leadership that came in for the Quran. The Quran is coming to do battle with those concepts. What are those concepts? One of the concepts is that God is split, daddy and son. The Quran came to fight against that. What's the other concept? That God favors one nation over another. God's not here to establish nationalism. The Quran came to wipe away nationalism, so God is the Lord of everybody, not just one nation. Right? So what is another battle? What's another battle we're looking at? The next verse, it says, Maliki Yawmiddin. Maliki Yom, and this Maliki, Mal is long, because you got Malik, right, in chapter 114, right, Malik, that's what the short Mal, but when you make it long, Malik, you're still saying king, but there's a difference. Malik is a king in 114, but Malik is saying king by himself. That's why many people say the sole owner of the Day of Judgment. Another example of a Malik is like a president. He got a 4-year term where there was a president before him and going to be a president after him. That's the short Malik. But when you extend it and say Malik, there was no king before and no king after. He's the only king. So he's the sole owner of the Day of Judgment. Maliki Yawmiddin. Right? So you got the pair, right? You got Malik, you got the Yawmiddin. That's the pair. But so what is the battle? They told us that Jesus was on the right-hand side of God's throne.
That's right.
Look at what Imam Muhammad gave us. And the Quran is saying, ain't nobody on the side of God's throne. He's Maliki Yawmiddin. He lives by himself.
That's right.
Talking about a victory. Yes. And then he goes on to the next one. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You only do your worship. There's no two or three gods. There's no God, Father, God, Mother, and all them other kind of gods. You only do we worship Iyyaka na'budu, and its prayer is Iyyaka nasta'in. So those first four verses has really cleaned the table of the major problems hindering the human progress from getting guidance. Because there's always another player, another figure coming in like Charlie on Charlie's Angels trying to be a partner with God. But the first four verses get rid of all that. That's a major victory for the human family.
That's right.
And once you had got rid of all those other little partners, then you can ask for guidance. You don't ask for guidance before that because your mind's not clear on which one to ask, the Father, the Son, this or that. This. You don't know who to ask.
Yes, sir.
But when you get to that, the first four, then you can ask. Don't ask for guidance before that. The Fatiha does not allow you to ask for guidance before that because it hasn't been clear yet. Then in the fifth one, you say, show us the straight way. I hope that makes sense. If anybody have any questions for us, please press one on your phone. We would love to hear. You got to hear back from the people sometime. Okay, we got a question here from Anonymous. And they got all ones on their phone numbers. I don't know where they call it from. But whoever gets Cam, press one on the phone, you're on. Anonymous, give us your question and comments. If you want to, give us your name and your city, but you don't have to. Hello, you're on. Maybe the phone's on mute, but they press one on your phone. You may come back to them. But the last person that pressed one on their phone just in the last 2 minutes, you're on. Am I on? Make sure I'm on, buddy, man. I'm on.
Yeah,
okay,
you
are. We're on. Okay, we put them back on hold. But they press one for a reason. Okay. I remember I leave their mic open in case they wanted to say something. So Al-Fatiha, the opening. Ronald, anything you want to share, please?
Yes. We were talking about the victory and the desire to free human beings to go where God wants them to go to their destiny, you know, and this is the battle. This is the battle. Al-Fatiha is the opening, the victory in that battle, you know. We open in victory, you see. So I thought immediately when you were just reading and commenting about Abraham and a question that I asked Imam Muhammad, because in the 2007 Ramadan session on the last day, he taught on Abraham. And so a few weeks later at his home, I asked him if he could give more comments on it. And I said that Abraham seems to have had a difficulty with Ismail. And Imam had commented on the past about how Ismail represents a spiritual community, and Abraham in that level represents a rational community. And Abraham felt spiritual. If the human person was just spiritual, then it could cause problems in trying to build the world that God wanted. You know, because that's the picture of the sheep. Ismail is seen as a sheep. And the sheep is seen in the scripture is seen as that spiritual community, that loving community. You know, and Christians promote that a lot. That love will conquer all. You've heard them say it. God is love and all that. So I asked Imam, I said, well, could you make further commentary on Abraham? And Imam said, Abraham felt that the spiritual could hold human beings back from going to where God wants them to go. He said, but it was holding them because it hadn't been reconciled with the rational. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying Everybody has a brain. God created everybody with a brain and reasoning. But if you don't develop it, if you depend on somebody else, you depend on the preacher or the imam or the rabbi, then you are in a sheep existence. You're in a community where you don't use your brain. You think that that's not as important. So here's the imam's comment directly. He said, so when God told him to kill his son, it pained Abraham because he thought he had to kill his son. And the imam says, the son is the ignorant spiritual masses, so it pained him that he had to kill them. You know, he was a good man. He was a father. He was a father to everybody. He loved everybody, and he cared for the poor. And how was he caring for them? How was he caring for the poor? He was caring for them by letting them stay in the womb, W-O-M-B. Yes, that's how he was caring for them, by letting them stay in the womb. As long as you're in the womb, you can be at peace, said. But God said, no, they can't stay in the womb, Abraham. I want them all to come forth to my destiny that I planned for them. And when he, Abraham, understood that, he said, I've got to kill my own child. Now, remember, the child is the common, faithful, good people that he was trying to protect. The man said it pained him.
Yes, sir.
Then Allah said to him, no, you don't have to kill him. Just kill that sheepish nature in him and feed that sheepish nature to the people. Let them be educated regarding their sheep nature, that you don't take it to the extreme where you don't defend yourself and let the wolves come in and other things keep taking advantage of you. So the man said he stood the sheep up in a man's clothing, in a warrior's clothing. And that feeds right back into what we were saying about the battle. The sheep is supposed to be, we all supposed to be in the battle, all human beings, man. Not just the wise people, the imams and the smart people, the intellectuals. We're all supposed to be in the battle in warrior's clothing, the man said.
All right. You know what you're saying remind me of your earlier comment. When you quoted Paul, you said, blesses every male child that breaks the womb. I guess Abraham didn't want them to break the womb. I think we got a caller back, brother, ma'am. I think we got a caller back. Now, Minister, we're going to try you one more time. You're on.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
It is Amatullah Amrani, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Ramadan Mubarak. Yes. Your number for some reason always shows up as being anonymous. I don't know why.
Because it's a dial out as private, like a private number, so it doesn't show up on the screen.
Okay, no problem.
Yes. But what I was calling about, in one of the first Sunday lectures that Imam I used to conduct there in Chicago, he was explaining something about Walid Dawling, and if I remember correctly, he was saying that the translation was those who miss the mark, not just go astray. So if either one of you care to refresh my mind on that translation, and when we recite Al-Fatiha, that last sentence, is it okay to say no of those who missed the mark, or do we just continue reciting it, you know, the way it's commonly recited? Thank you.
Thank you. Brother Marano, please, go ahead.
Yeah. I remember where we were in Milwaukee, and we had just recorded a program for W.D. Mohammedan guests, and we were outside of the building, and the man was explaining about the black stone, and he said that do you all know what the black stone is firstly addressing? And he said it's addressing the Gnostics, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S, the Gnostics. You know, they were Christians who who sincere students of the scripture and everything, but they came to believe that you can get so much into the Word of God that it takes you up into the heavens, and when you come back, you're more than just a human person. And Imam said, the black stone fallen is talking to them, saying to them that that light that you have that has you up in the heavens, that understanding, you got to put that down, sacrifice that.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones, one of the references is to them, that they missed the mark. It doesn't mean, I think if we just ordinarily read it, we think it's just talking about bad people, evil people that just did something wrong. Instead of saying that he is good people that's trying to do something right, but they didn't get it right. They missed it. So Walid Dalin, one of the things it's doing is referencing that those who they were trying to go right, but they were missing the mark. Dalin. And then Imam referred to the prophet, present peace be upon him. And he said that prior to Allah revealing to the prophet was missing the mark. See, so if we, you know, so definitely not talking about just bad people missing the mark. The prophet was missing the part, and I think in that surah we had talked about how he was turning toward Jerusalem and everything. He was Darlene. He was missing the mark because the mark Allah wanted him to turn toward the Holy House in Mecca. Imam, Mikhail, you may remember that Imam said the prophet was missing the mark too, and God guided him. We found you straying and guided you. We found you straying.
Yeah, that's
you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, sisters. Go ahead.
So when you
follow up,
recite a Fatiha in English, when you get to that last sentence, do you say, you know, of those who miss the mark, or do you say just say those who go astray, just out of the traditional way that we?
Yeah. I like it, man. I think I like it better. Miss the mark. It doesn't mean
okay.
Straying is one too. I mean, it's not that straying those who are straying is wrong, because it's not. But a more direct, clearer understanding for me is they missed the mark. It says a lot in terms of they were trying to hit the mark. They weren't, you know. But straying may mean just a rebel for me. Straying may mean just somebody who's just a rebel and going off somewhere on their own. But missing the mark mean that they're trying to hit it, but they missed it for whatever the reason they missed it. That's what
I was saying. After he had explained that, then when I got to that, I started saying, no, of those who missed the mark, but I never heard anybody else say it, and so I was just seeing what you what was your up.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you.
And remember, the Quran is not just speaking to the Muslims. It's speaking to those who were lost in their religion prior to the Quran coming. It was speaking to them too. And so for the wise ones among them and the sincere ones among them, that God says in the Quran that when they heard the word of God, you saw tears in their eyes. It's talking about the Christians who were men of and women of logic and understanding. But they were missing the mark. Darlene, they were the Gnostics and all those. They were men and women of understanding, but they were missing the mark. And Allah was guiding them to hit the target with the revelation to Muhammad the Prophet, the Quran.
Yes, sir. The only thing that comes to my mind, sister, is the people who were darling, that they were sincere in their intents. They were just misguided.
Yes. Yes, thank you, ma'am. That's
beautiful. Yeah, because we mentioned that in each of these seven, there is a pair. And so the pair to Darlene is the Makhdubi. Now, those rascals, excuse my expression, they didn't have good intents from the beginning. They just went wrong. So they get a lot of anger. It means many times you read it, it says, show us the straight way, the way of those for whom we shall favor. That's verse 6. Now we know in the book it's going to show us as it being part of verse 7. But that first part, Sarata Levina and Amta Alehim, that by itself is verse 6, following the logic of Remember Muhammad. Then verse 7 begins with Ghayriel Makdubi Alehim Walitha Ali. That is verse 7, in which our sister is asking about the last word, Ghali.
Yeah,
and it's we say it come in pairs. So what is the pair to Tavalin? Is the Maglubi, those who intentionally went wrong. By them doing with a intention in mind, they knew right, but they weren't going to do right. So they earned a lot of anger, but the ones the Tavalin, they got a little bit more hope, so to speak, because they meant to do right. They just didn't. They were off target. Now, I heard you, Muhammad, say this briefly, and some other translations say it stronger. They say the Maghdubi is referring to a sector among the Jews. We're not saying all Jews. We're not saying all Christians either. But there was a sector among the Jews who were the Maghdubi. They knew better. You may call them scribes or Pharisees, or whatever. But they knew what God said, and they understood what God said, and they said, we're going to do it wrong anyway. That's the Maghdubi. They have earned Allah's wrath. But the Zalim is a reference to the Christians. Someone gave them the okey-doke. He got them to seeing God as being split, Father, Son, all that. But most Christians had good hearts. They didn't intend to go astray, but they were misguided.
Yes, sir.
And they missed the mark. They missed the mark.
Yes.
Yes.
And an antithesis to that. An antithesis to that is Surah 4, verse 117.
Okay.
And God just gives a descriptor of Satan. And he says, Shaitanim Maridan, the persistent rebel. See, that's one, like you're saying, Imam, he didn't miss the mark because he was trying to hit the mark right. He already think he's right. He ain't trying to hit anything. He is a rebel. He is a rebel. He ain't trying to hit the target. He ain't trying to show you the right way. He already thinks he knows the right way. So he is Shaitanem Marid. He is a persistent rebel. That's the Satan.
Wow.
That means he's never going to stop. Persistent means he never quit. He's persistent.
That's right. You're right. Yes. So Sister Ventura, does that help?
Yes, sir. And the main point I was asking too was about when we were doing the Fatiha in English, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
And ending with no of those who missed the mark. And after you said that, it just seemed, you know, more, I don't know, fitting for me to just say it like that. No of those who missed the mark. Amen. So yeah, thank you, Father.
Yes,
that was.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you, sister. Thank you very much. Before we go to our next caller, you want to spend a little bit more on the pronunciation of Ali. You know there's the long vowels and the short vowels. But then there's the extra long vowel. You could call it Medda. And the Medda is like a longer line on top of the vowel, which means you got the vowel, you got the long vowel, then you got the long vowel. But on Baalim, you got that long vowel. So when yes. you say it, don't we shouldn't say well, it's all in, that's too short. The vowel should be very long. While that vowel lean extra long on the vowel, because it's saying you're going astray. You lost, so you hold it long because until you find your way, you lost, right? So we want to get yeah. that correct. Because some of us say I mean longer than what we say vowel lean, and it should not be the other way around. Now I mean is long too. I mean. It's long too, but the is longer than the I and I mean, because you are going straight and even your jaw is yes it's kind of gone straight until you can get it back up. Well, it's all in I mean. So we're gonna go to our next caller, but we gotta come back.
Amen. Michael, before you go on.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. Help me out. I think the when it says wallet darling, the last lamb, is that a shadda over that? Is that a shadda over it? The last lamb.
Yes, it is. Wallet darling.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So Imam said. Imam said the proper way to pronounce that is Waladalim. So that's taking in both of those lambs. Yeah, Dalim, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It may seem subtle and everything, but that's he did say that. He told the students in the class. He said,
thank you.
It should be Waladali.
Yes.
But, you know, most people, not thinking about it, they say Walad, and that's not wrong. I mean, it's okay. Waladali.
Uh-huh.
But if you're going to be true to that, the Arabic there, you got to say Waladali.
Yes. And just for the record, the shatta means that you double the letter.
Yes, that's right.
And so
the first letter,
go ahead.
The first one goes with the previous vowel. When you double it, the first one goes with the previous vowel sound.
Okay.
So that's why.
The vowel. Okay.
Yeah, dal, yes. And then the emphasis is on this second one. Yes.
Thank you very much.
You know what?
Yeah.
What this and it's beautiful because what we understand is that the ones who wrote the Quran in Arabic, they were trying to write it in such a way that when you recited it correctly, you were citing it just like the prophet recited it, because they believed there
mm-hmm.
was even revelation in the way the prophet pronounced the Quran. There may have even been revelation in his diction. They were saying, we're not going to miss anything
mm-hmm.
if we can help it.
That's right.
That's why, right. And, you know, they have the Uthmani script. You know, you got to, it's a little different. Mine is not in the Uthmani script. And it seems kind of
mm-hmm.
difficult. But they were doing it because that was the dialect that the prophet had. And they were saying,
yes,
if you pronounce it like this, you even sound like the prophet sound when he's reciting it. They figured, you know, I don't know if they're right or wrong,
yes,
but that's what they did.
Right, right. Well, they tried.
Yes, right.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We got a little bit more time left from Imam Ramadan. I don't want to prolong you, but I got time because this is.
This is Ramadan, brother. This is Ramadan.
I guess we have an impromptu Ramadan session. remember when the Imam changed the language? In the beginning, it was called a Ramadan retreat, and he changed it to Ramadan session?
Yes. Yes. I remember. Yes, sir.
Because you said retreat means to turn around and run the wrong direction. Right? You in a battle and you lose it and retreat. Hell said, no, we're not retreating.
You know what he told us? It was months before he passed. Can't remember where we were. And he said, I know he had gone, and then he came back. And he said, brothers, he said, you know, when you're traveling somewhere and you're approaching the destination, you know, the scenery changes.
Yes, sir.
He said, and I'm feeling that we are so close to the destiny that God laid out for us. He says, and so I'm feeling that I need to change the scenery. He says, I'm going to change the language. He said, and you watch. You're going to hear a different language in the Ramadan session. You're going to hear a different language first Sunday, et cetera. He said he was going to do that. But, of course, you know, Allah knows that we don't know. But he did do the convention, but he didn't get to do the Ramadan session. But, yeah, he said when you're getting closer to destiny, the scenery changes, and you can tell. He said, and I believe we're getting so close, and so you're going to see my language change.
Yes, sir.
I was just referring when you said, when you say from retreat to Ramadan session. Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, if I may, I may be doing the John Lewis, hopefully get in good trouble. When the imam passed from us physically, the scenery did change.
You know what? It did change, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
I never thought about
it changed.
That. Wow.
It changed. You know, and
yeah, you're right.
He said, he told us at that one convention, he said, when people come to you criticizing me, he said, you tell them I am Wallace T. Muhammad.
He sure said that. He sure said that.
You know, and not making any of us special, but let us not underestimate what the imam has put into us.
I agree.
He shouldn't do that. Okay, we go to our next caller. This is from the STL. I call that 314. Caller from the STL. Assalamu alaikum. Can you give us your first name and know your city?
Alaikum assalam to you, Imam.
I know that boy.
Yeah, and
boy.
Also Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, a very distinguished guest, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah. That the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And I want to say Ramadan Mubarak to both of you brothers and to our radio listening audience. I am just loving, I'm loving this Imam Sahir and Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. There's such substantive information discussing the Al-Fatiha. You know, I just want to share something very briefly here. You know,
yes,
go back to Al-Rahim. Imam Muhammad was teaching us, and he said, Al-Rahim is the redemptive mercy, the redemptive mercy. And I love
that's right.
Imam Sahir said, become looking at the battle and being victorious. So why was this so important? It was so important that the lie that is told that it is Christ Jesus in terms of shedding his blood, redeemed the human being. But Imam Muhammad said, Allah has, he said, how does he show how he redeems man from the very beginning? It always has been revelation. You see, so when we look at Al-Rahman in terms of the natural creation and the benefits, as you were speaking about, Imam Shaheed, that we benefit from that, but man can lose his way in terms of this natural creation and forget about Allah and become unconscious in regards to that. Then Imam Muhammad said that Al-Rahim, the most merciful redeemer, redeems man. in that regard. And it's always been revelation that has done that. So that's that's something for us to think and ponder on. And also, in looking at this, the Imam was teaching us in terms of Al-Fatiha, as you said, and Imam Sa'ir said, in terms of combining two and three, with, you know, and then four being Maliki Yamadin, but four being Iyaka Na Abudu, why Iyaka Nasta'im. He said, if you look at that, that's the fourth ayat in terms of how the Imam has given it to us. But this is something that has to come. Four in the number seven is the middle or the heart of that. And this is something that is being revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the prophet, that this should be coming from the heart. It's only you that we worship. It's only you that we serve. It's only you that we work for. And it's only you that we seek help. It's only you that we seek aid. It's only you that we seek assistance from. You see, so this is very important. And one last thing I wanted to make a comment on, what the man was teaching us in terms of, and thank you so much for giving that information in the Darlene, that these were people, as you so eloquently articulated, they had good intention. Their heart was good. But they those were the Gnostic people. And we see that even today, whereas those people, in thinking in their mind and their heart, in their spirit, that they're getting closer to God, that they don't want to marry, they don't want to have sex and have families, they isolate themselves from society in thinking that they're closer. Now, we know a certain denomination, I won't say, but we all know a certain denomination where it's not allowed. It's not allowed to be in the priesthood, to be married, to have a family. And they actually counsel people, and they haven't even experienced that life, or they're not allowed to experience that life. So you see how when the misinterpretation of revelation is not in accord with creation, this produces a real problem. You see, and yes, it brings about perversion. I could say a lot more about that, but I think that we understand that. And you're right, the Mudub is one that misuses free will to choose. And we've been reading about it each and every day in the juices as we read the Quran each and every day. Those who reject God's signs, as Imam Muhammad said, instructing signs, that's the message. They reject that sign, and they willfully do that. They know better, but they choose to do that. Is that they're the ones that incur the displeasure of God and also the wrath of God. And you're right, is a segment of the Jews. Imam Muhammad said about the segment of the Jews, but it's not just... Sa'ir said, it's not all Jews, but there are other people that fall into that same frame of rejecting, outright rejecting God's sign when they know better. I could say more, but I'll stop there because I'm enjoying you, Imam Sa'ir, and Imam Al-Abdi Shahid. I want to say this, is that, inshallah, please repeat your number again real slowly, because I want to order a case of those books. One of the things I do is sell some of them, but I'm looking at potential e-gifts for some of the believers here in the Gateway City. Thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless you and us richly. Ramadan Mubarak. As-salamu alaykum.
Before you go, and Imam Ram can give the number and email again. Tell us about your programs and the other programs you have on the station.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Okay, so the day is Sunday, so Tuesday, and we're operating on the Ramadan schedule for the month of Ramadan. This is not the normal time, but just for the IWDN radio listening audience, the science of your health and you Learning Lab that's hosted by Rashid Salam and instructor Abdul Shaheed will be airing each and every Tuesday for the month of Ramadan only at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the first Learning Lab that I host will be it's on Wednesday, and it's also on the Ramadan schedule. Dr. Patricia Sloan-Dean is my co-host and co-facilitator. She teams with me on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We'll have a special guest, inshallah, Naima Latif, who is executive producer of the Female Solution, inshallah, will be joining us. And that airs at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, only in the month of Ramadan. And then the Sister Learning Lab is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir. They're the Jewel of the South, ATL. She joins with me each and every Thursday. Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab for the Ramadan time is 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, I've transposed it, and now it's on Saturday for the month of Ramadan, and that airs at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 high noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, only in the month of Ramadan. After that, they will return to the normal time. Thank you so much, Imam Sahir. This is excellent, excellent production. Yeah. I'm really enjoying this dialogue that you and Imam Ronald B. Shaheen is giving so much insight, and I'm hoping that they followed your advice and taking good notes, because this is excellent info. This is coming from the leader, and like you say, I'm looking forward to that book, Follow the Leader. As-salamu alaykum.
Don't forget, the shows are archived, so as soon as you go off, you can also tune in to the show and watch it on and listen to it on archives. Thank you, Brother Mark Shaheed.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Imam Sayyid.
Imam Ram Shaheed, can you give us the your phone number again, please, and your
information? My phone number is 414-349-2278. That's 414-349-2278. And my, if you want to text me, I mean, email me, it's rshaheed49@gmail.com. But you're welcome to call, too. You can call me at that number that I gave you, 414-349-2278. But that's a great idea, Brother Mark, about getting the books and giving them as Ramadan gifts. That's a great idea.
Yeah,
somebody mentioned that to me the other day. As
yes,
that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, I like it very much. Okay, we have another call here from 310. But I do want to do this. 310, hold on just for a minute, please, because we did not speak. I want to speak another comment. And keep in mind, following Imam Muhammad's logic, verse 7, as given in most books, is now two verses. Instead of one, it's two. And the first part is Sirata Ladina and Amta Alayhim. That is verse 6. Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Wa Ladhdallin is verse 7. So focusing in on verse 6, and this is a note from the commentary of the Quran that we work on with Imam Nasser Ahmed, and we're trying to get that book out soon. I get calls all the time, when it's going to be out, when it's going to be out.
So
we're trying to get it out. Yes. So, but this is a comment from that. We say, Sirata Ladina and Amta, they're right there, and Amta. Okay, and Amta here is given by Yusuf Ali the way of those whom you have bestowed your grace, your grace. And remember, Muhammad is saying in the commentary book, the word nima, from the same root as anamta, is saying blessings.
Blessings,
he said, now
right.
We also have another word for blessings, barak or barakah, right? Like Ibn Mubarak. He said the difference between barak, which is blessing, and nimat, which is where anamta comes from, is that nimat comes after the barakah has ran out. And you still need help to get to where you need to go.
Mm.
It's like a second, it's a continuation. It is where whatever you miss, I guess, I hope y'all can accept this understanding. I just turned 65, so I'm on Medicare now, but they say, well, what is your part B? You say you got part A to cover. What is part B? So I hope I tell you, John Lewis gave us a good term, good trouble. I hope I'm getting in good trouble saying this. Because when you say the barakah, the blessings, it takes you so far. But the nimat will take you the rest of the way. So here, he's saying, salat al-ladhina anamta. Anamta, the word nimat is in that. It is saying that it's really taking us to our destiny. It's the blessings. Some blessings were just, we say, alhamdulillah, we'd be blessed. But the nima or an anamta would take us all the way to our destiny. So that's what we're asking for. We asked for, before that, right, is ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. But well, what is this mustaqim? What is this? It is sirat al-ladhina anamta alayhim. It is the which you give to us to take us to our destiny, all the way to our destiny.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Any comments
you
before
know,
I go to
Imam,
our caller?
Imam,
go ahead, please.
The Imam also commented on that word, Nima. He said that the title of the chapter 6, is taken from that, and
Al. That's right.
They
That's
translated
right.
the cattle or the animals, right? And then he gave commentary on how animals are a blessing because, you know, if a man can walk 10 miles in a day, then when he got an animal that he can ride on, he could go 20 miles in a day. You know?
That's right.
So certainly the animal, the cattle, and, you know, of course, cattle, you know, and the benefits you get. Quran expounds the benefits that you get from the cattle, you know, food and clothing and shelter and all of that. So the animals, so God is, so really it's related to how God has given us blessing with everything in the creation gives a benefit to the human person, everything. Quran says,
yes, sir.
Everything is a utility. God has given everything in creation as utility, you mean. So they are nearby, they are blessings.
You know, as you were speaking, it just opened my mind up to this thought. Isn't an animal that can do more miles than you on foot? Isn't he trying to get you to your destiny?
Yes, that's right.
We try to get to our destiny. Yes, sir.
That's right.
Something to
that's right.
So
you
and,
can
and
see the prophet. You can see why the prophet in instructing the believers when they went out to battle, talking about battle again, you can't harm animals. You cannot harm vegetation. Why?
Go ahead.
Because God put them there as a benefit. So let's say, like you see with this thing going on in Ukraine, how they're destroying and they're killing and they, and you look at that and you just, it just hurts your heart that has no reference to how Prophet Muhammad taught that you must do battle. Imam said, he said in speaking to what has happened in the United States, he said if they had followed the logic of Muhammad the Prophet, there never would have been chattel slavery in America. You never would have had all these terrible things
that human beings do to each other. If you follow the logic of the word of God that transformed the world, they all know it, but they forgot. They were just like in, what's the chapter, Nisai. You know, that means those who forget, the women who forget. But it ain't talking about ordinary. It may be talking about societies that forget, civilizations that forget. You know, they should hold and remember it, but they forget. And so problems come because. But the Muslims, every time we say our prayer, are reminded of all these wonderful blessings. And therefore, if we do that, we become the ones who can remind the world to come back to God's blessing. You know that word, Rahim?
Yes, sir.
Imam said it means redemptive mercy, or Rahim. And he said, what does redemption mean? Something got brought back to what it was supposed to be or what it was before.
That's right.
He said, and it is the wounds of the women that does that. Yes, sir.
Yeah, because it ties in with the Arham, right? Arham.
That's right.
The womb.
That's
the womb
right.
For the world.
The womb,
and I remember email
right.
saying, yes, sir, yes, sir. And going back to what Paul said, you got to come out of that womb.
There you go. Something else, too.
The email gave us so much until once you begin turning the keys, then the keys turn the key. You know, so.
That's true.
I mean, remember your man saying they say Nisai means the women, but they imply that it means that she's forgetful. And your man said, no, it may mean that we forgot her. It may mean that we forgot her.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
Because paradise is where's paradise at? We had to be reminded where paradise was.
Yeah, that's right. Our mama said it's
okay.
Put on the mother. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Alhamdulillah. Okay, call 3-1. You've been 3-10. You've been very patient. Call from 310-704. Your own words, may people give us your first name, question, comment, please.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. My first name is Sami. Calling from Los Angeles.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. This is such a great blessing, Brother Imam, and greetings to you and Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, as well as Imam Mark Shaheed, with his wonderful comment. And
I just wanted
to say that the sister that had called in about Walid Orlean, I'm gonna make it a point to pronounce it that way also.
Yeah, me too.
But she said that those who missed the mark, I love that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking that Imam Mark Shaheed came on right after that, and I don't mean to make light of it, but he certainly didn't miss the mark. You know, he is Mark.
That's right.
He is on the mark.
He is Mark.
Yes, sir.
That's a sign. That's a sign, brother. Mark,
yes,
Mark,
sir.
That's right.
That's right.
Mark.
I'm glad. Thank you for saying that. That is so wonderful. Signs
yes,
and everything, isn't it?
Yes, I'm good at that.
Beautiful.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead, please. Go ahead.
One thing that I think is very important for us to understand. Those who are in association with Imam Waliti Muhammad, may Allah grant him the highest station in paradise, and is that those of us who are who may not be fluent in the Arabia, we're getting a great blessing in the understanding from Imam Muhammad's teaching, and from you all, giving us that understanding. I was thinking about, I'm going to try to be as brief as I can. I listened to a khutbah by an imam a few years ago on the Eid al-Adha, and he was relating the story of Prophet Ibrahim using, the story of him sacrificing his son. And this information that you gave us today, and I'm hoping I'm keeping it in line with the Al-Fatiha, because the double meaning, you know, he wasn't understanding this the way that you presented it, you know, and I knew he was missing the mark on it, you know, so to speak. But again, this wasn't the understanding, you know, that literal translation that that was to be understood, you know. And he used that and didn't go any further. And I was very disappointed, because I know that he, even though he was very, very fluent in the Arabia, and I mean speaking it fluently, but he didn't have an understanding of what was being said there, and it was very disappointing, you know. Even though I didn't have the full understanding as much as I have now, I knew that that wasn't to be taken literally, you know. And this is one of the things that we really have to appreciate in this community, is that we're getting an understanding of this Quran, you know, praise be to Allah, by the grace of Allah, through our you know, generous imam, and you know, so this is just
let me say,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Before Imam Rasha, he responds. Let us remember this here: being fluent in Arabic, and even with the tashweesh and all that, the proper pronunciation is not just the real tashweesh. And the real tafsirs, or the enunciation, I'm going to say not tafsirs, enunciation, it's not in the sound that our voices make, but it's really with the understanding that the words deliver. That's where the real, you know what I'm saying? So a person can be born in a community and be very articulate for making the audible sound that hits our eardrums, and they say it correctly, but when they go to explain it, it don't hit us.
Right.
So when Imam Muhammad is giving us, it's really, though it may be a lot in English, whatever, it's bringing it home to the soul.
Yes, sir.
And so that's the real recitation.
Yes, sir.
That's why,
and that's my point.
Bilal, that's why Bilal was calling the Athan, and he couldn't get his sings and shings right. And they would say the prophet. But if the prophet was, he didn't pay no mind to know sings and shings, how Bilal was saying it wrong. Bilal was saying it wrong. But he was, but the reaching the soul was right. He said, Bilal's footsteps were ahead of us. I heard Bilal's footsteps was ahead of mine in paradise. So don't, us, the African Americans, let us not get too excited or feel down because we can't have that perfect, you know, tashweed and all that. We're getting there. Maybe that's for our children. We don't know. But the pristine insight we get from Imam Muhammad, our brother, we are there.
Yes,
Imam Rasha, anything you want to ask? I wanted to say that because it was on my mind.
Yeah. Two things. One is in one of the imams' sessions with the imams, I forget why he came to that point, but he told the imams, he said, now, if you want to go and study the Bible, he said, I encourage you to, although I've already done it, you know. He said, but if you want to go study the Bible, he said, I encourage you to. He said, but you're not going to get any more out of it than what I already got. and then the other thing, the other point is, we were in his home, and I can remember the scenario like it happened yesterday. The man was sitting on his couch, and he reared back in his couch, and he had his hands folded over one of his knees as he leaned back. And he said, brother, he said, you don't have to accept what I'm saying. He said, it's okay. He said, but Allah has given me, has shown me all the light in the Quran. And then he said, and the Bible too. Now, I said those two things to say this. There are people who think, among us, who think that you can go and learn in Arabic, you can go in the Quran, and you can get out of the Quran what Imam Muhammad got, right? And I would say to them, look at the 1,400 years or more after the prophet. Who among the Muslims at all that time got what the prophet brought or who got what Imam Muhammad brought to us? We should understand the ni'mah that God, the blessing that God gave us when he gave us Imam W.D. Muhammad and taught Imam Muhammad insights in the Quran, and Imam shared it with us over 33 years. Somebody asked the other day something, what should we be doing? On the Tafsir program I work with every Saturday, I wasn't on. I was just listening. But the first thing that came to my mind was, what we really need to do is we need to get together and sincerely study what God bless Imam Muhammad to bring to us. Because none of us, hardly any of us, it may be one or two, but there's none really, who have the insight to go into the Quran and bring out what Imam Muhammad brought. And he gave it to us as a gift. It's a treasure. Like they do, they have a term now they call it, treasure trove. I never heard that term before, but they use it a lot now, treasure trove. Well, Imam Muhammad was blessed to bring a treasure trove. And the last time we met with him, August 21st, 2008, he brought it up. We didn't even ask the question this time. He said, brothers, I want to share with you the story of Moses and the wise man. And he said, as you know, they came to this city, and the city people mistreated them. Well, as they were leaving, the wise man saw a wall falling down. So he built the wall up. And Moses didn't understand. He wanted to understand, why did the man build a wall up after they mistreated him? And the wise man told him that there were two orphans in the city, and there was a treasure under that wall, and the wall was falling down, and the treasure would be exposed, so he built it up so that it could stay that way until the orphans reached the age of full strength so they could get their treasure out. So Imam says, now, look at my name, because it's no accident. My name is W-A-L-L-A-C-E. Wall Ace, the professional. Ace means professional, the best at what they do. And what's the wall? The wall has the treasure under it. And the wall protects the treasure from those that God didn't intend to have it. Because the orphans, and who are the orphans? Imam said, the orphans are the, listen to this, this is so profound. He said, the orphans are Muhammad the prophet and us as a people. That's the two orphans. So I think that we as a group will miss our treasure if we don't grow up and understand how much God has blessed us with W.D. Muhammad as the wall ace. And he spent 33 years, look at the symbolism as the connections as signs, as Imam Mikhail said in the beginning. 33 years, that's the time it takes for the Ramadan to make its way through the lunar calendar. 33 years, and Imam taught us for 33 years. Born in 1933, right? And he told us his number was 33. That's what he told us. He said, my number is 33. I know it. He said, I see 33s all the time. He said, that's a sign. I believe that's a sign from Allah to me.
But Ronald, yes. I got to say this real fast. I interrupted. He told us years ago. He said that when his father died, he said, when I woke up, he said the clock had stopped at 3:33.
That's right. I remember that.
That's right.
Yes,
remember,
sir.
Remember that. That's right. I had to get it in right real quick. Let me tell everybody what you just mentioned about the wall lace. It's in this book on page 28. How did you do all that? It's in the book, right there.
I know.
Right there, yeah. That's right. Hey, he talks about how Mr. Farrar named him, and then he go on. He said how Farrar came back and talked where he used to name Muhammad Abdullah, and said that Muhammad Abdullah said, well, really, your name is not Wallace. It's really Aguirre's. That's on page 29 of this book. But you know what, Ronald Shaheed, Ronald, I spent a literal 2 to 3 hours last night. I have it. I cannot find it. But I got a copy of a letter written by Imam W.D. Muhammad. He was corresponding with Malcolm X in 1964, I believe it was.
Wow.
And in this letter, at the end, Imam Muhammad put P.S. He said, an Imam named me Walter D. Muhammad. This is 1964. I got it somewhere. I got about 7 or 8 thumb drives or something in there trying to find it.
I'm praying that you find it, Brother Imam.
He said that, and it's a letter. I bumped into it when I was doing my research for my book, The Man Behind the Man. And inshallah, I'm going to find it.
Praise be to Allah.
So y'all make dua. Make dua. Sing a dua.
I will.
We got to get to our next caller here. Get to our next caller here. Let's see. This caller here. Let me see. Yeah, we got to get. Let me see. Oh, yeah. We done got our brother Bashir fired up. Brother Bashir is back. He got something to say.
Bashir.
Brother Sammy. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir.
And I want to tell you, and be sure, I spoke to you, Imam Hatim, last night, but congratulations on, Imam Ayman, Abdul-Majid, our beloved brother, my co-host, I miss him dearly. He passed away. Excellent, oh my goodness. And you all elected a new Imam Friday, right?
Yes, sir. I'm dearly alive.
Hatim Sharif. I caught him last night and told him congratulations, and he began talking about how he was here. He was 10 years old. I think his family joined when he was 10 years old in the 1960s or something like that. He was 10 in 1960s or something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, how his mother and father were in the Nation of Islam and how he done came on through the ranks. So may God bless you all to continue to grow. And be sure to tell Imam Sharif that he has our support. I told him last night, but I want to say it again. We got work to do.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother, man. Alhamdulillah. Again, thank you. Thank you for taking my call and that. Wonderful information. I got a page full of notes here. I'm going to have to go over them.
Yes,
again,
sir.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, right.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaykum as-salam.
Okay, let's go back to our brother, Imam. I call him Imam because he knows so much. Brother Bashir Assad.
Yes,
assalamu alaikum.
Yep. I had to leave you for a moment and go to another Talim for Masjid al-Taqwa. But I just wanted to make a comment on Brother Ronald Shaheed had mentioned concerning the seriousness of studying Imam Wardi Muhammad over other knowledge. Not that we don't study other knowledge. I study other Islamic scholars and knowledge, but the only reason I'm able to benefit from them is because of Imam Wardi Muhammad. But let me say this.
Good point.
I had the honor and the blessing one day when we were shut down, and you all may have been there. They shut us down on a fourth Sunday out in Chicago Heights. And we had
my
stairs. Yeah,
I was
I sat next. I was on security. I sat next to Imam Wardi Muhammad that day, And he said this. He said, I've given y'all gold and diamonds, and you just left it on the ground.
Well, you just left it on the ground. And I know you may be aware of it too, man.
He said, only about one-third of y'all have gotten what I have brought you. Now,
wow.
We have very astute students, and I'm proud of. But yet what Imam Ronald said, we need to study Imam. I haven't heard anyone as yet, and I want to hear, that takes the knowledge of the Quran and then brings it down to everyday, not only language, but puts it into situations where it's useful for us.
Yeah,
I read some recently. Imam said, I didn't go into the Quran looking for knowledge. I went into the Quran looking for guidance. And when we read Imam Wahdi Muhammad and his tafsirs, we find guidance for us. So that's what I'd like to comment. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, you know, we go off, I guess, realize, you know, we can get put off in about 7 minutes, brother. We go right out of time. Oh, and I want to do a recap, too. Yeah, so well, let's do, if you can, best of our ability, I'd like to do a little fast recap, at least on the seven and the seven stops, and where should we stop at? So, we say the first one, in Allah or the Rahman or the Rahim, pause or stop. Just briefly. Next one, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen or the Rahman or the Rahim, second stop. Maliki Yawmiddin, third stop. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, the fourth stop. Ihdina sirata mustaqim, the fifth stop. Sirata ladina anamta alayhim, the sixth stop. Ghayri al-makdubi alayhim walad dhalin, then that's the seventh stop. In each of those seven, there is a pair. The first one we know is Ar-Rahman. His partner or his pair is Ar-Rahim. Again, the same in the second one, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. The third one, Maliki, the Maliki's one, Yawm al-Din is the second. That's the pair in that one. Iyaka na'budu, that's one. Iyaka nasta'in makes the pair. Ihdinas sirata mustaqim. Ihdinas, that's show us for guidance. Sirata mustaqim, on the straight way, that makes the pair. Sirata ladina anamta alayhim. That part there, Imam Rana, I'm still, that part there, I'm not quite sure. I think it's saying sirata is one, right?
Ladina and Amta.
Is Mustaqim the pair? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah. Okay. But the last one we know is
looking at something.
Sir?
No, I drifted off. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Then,
so which one are you saying?
Number six.
Sirata
ladina.
Ladina.
And I'm ta'alehim. So we got to work on that. I'm not one, and we're not ones to just throw anything out there and get it wrong. And I don't mind saying,
I don't know.
I got to do more homework. Yes. But the last one, I'm sure, the last one is, Zairil Makzubi Alehim. Makzubi is one, those who intentionally go astray. And Da'alim, those who guests went, they were innocent, but they went astray. So one, the McGruby, they intentionally went wrong. The Valine, they strayed. And again, dear believers, that's based upon the logic of the Quran given to us in chapter 15, verse 78. I wish we had time to go on. We got about
One quick thing, ma'am. This is also related to the last chapter, the 114th chapter. You see the 14 there. And when you look at it,
mm-hmm.
each one of them is two. Each one of them is two. In the sixth one, for example, among jinn and among men. So it's mm-hmm. related to the last chapter, too, of the Quran, 114 chapters.
Yes, sir. So we want to keep that in mind because it's all connected. The best dictionary, we could probably say the only dictionary for the Quran is the Quran itself.
That's right. That's right.
That's it. There's no other dictionary for the Quran. What is Allah saying to us? Allah can put the dictionary inside the book. If you got to go to another source, then you put that source above, is not equal with the Quran.
You know, that's right.
And Allah in His mercy, He took care of it.
He took
the dictionary and the Quran. Now, that's if you want the best definition. Now, if you want a watered down definition, you go somewhere else.
That's true.
You have to be students. Brother Imran, please give us the phone number, email, and how to contact you, the price of the book, and all that, please, before we go.
Yes. The title of the book, Follow the Leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad's Reflections on Leadership. And if the cost is $20, and you can go to my website, www.thoughtsforsearchers.com, or you can call me or text me at 414-349-2278. That's 414-349-2278. My email address is rshaheed49@gmail.com. I really recommend this book because I really think that the big problem that we have now is trying to be consistent with our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. That's critical for us as a group. And I try to address that in compiling this book. So,
hey, we thank you. Allah. We thank you.
Sir.
This is the 13th book that you have put out to the Imam's words. It's a treasure. We should get it. And now that website, that's Thoughts with S, right?
Yes, thoughtsforsearchers.com.
Yeah,
thoughts.com, yes, sir.
All right, buddy man, thank you. We love you. May Allah bless you.
You're
bless
very
Ramadan.
Welcome. Love you too, brother man. Ramadan. Bless you, Ramadan, to you and to the audience.
Amen. With that said, we'll close out with our theme song, Words Made People. Inshallah, next week. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Make the world